Okay, we are up to the part where Asalia, the queen, takes care of all the people in her family, unfortunately kills everybody, except for Yoash. Yoash is able to survive thanks to Yehoyada the Kohen, as well as his wife and his kids, etc., and everything like that. So here's what it says over here. It says, Vatish, Yoash was just made, king in front of everybody in the base of Mikdash. It says in Pasuk Yud Beis, Parchav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vatishma Asal Yahu, Eskol Amar Rotzim, Bama Halim, So Asal Yahu heard the noise of the people that were running and praising the king. Vatavala Am Beis Hashem, she came to the base of Mikdash wondering what was going on here. She didn't assume that there was a coup happening in the base of Mikdash. Why would there be something there? She couldn't imagine what was going on. Vatera, she saw, Vihine Amelach Omin Almudo, the king, Yoash, was sitting on his, standing on his pillar, Bama right by the entrance, and there were officers, I guess, as well as trumpeters, right by the king himself. Everybody there was happy. They were blowing on shofars. They were singing together with the kli ashir. And they were telling over. They were praising. She tore her clothing and she said, "A coup! A rebellion over here." So it's interesting. Absolutely interesting that that was her reaction over here. Mitsuda says she was frightened, right? It's likely that more so she assumed that everybody was loyal to her. Like, over the past few years, I mean, how this could have happened under her, reign, I have no idea. But she must have assumed that people are on her side, and when she saw there was nothing going on, she was probably shocked. She was sitting there saying, what in the world? How did this happen? How could it possibly be? Here, come, guys. So it could possibly be. You're dressed for the occasion, Moshe. Unbelievable.
I don't miss it.
Amazing. Come, grab one right over here.
I look at the clock.
Perek Chav Gimel, right over here. Yud Dalet, Asal Yahu just realized that there was a massive coup going on right by here. See, here, Yoyada the Kohen Gadol, took all the officers of hundreds, the people that were in charge, and he said to them, take her away, right? But keep her by the area of where everybody is. You must. Anybody who comes after her should die by the sword. The Kohen said nobody should kill Asalia in the Beis HaMikdash. Asalia was a queen who knew what she wanted, killed as many people as she could in order to become in charge. And now that everything was going badly, this is the result. She saw what was happening. The Kohen Gadol made sure she cannot be killed in the Beis HaMikdash itself. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's no way we can allow this to happen. So that's what happened over here. It says, by Yasimula, they made for her Yadayim, a certain place for her to be. Vatavol Mavoshar Susan, she came to the entrance of the gate of the horses, based on Alame Misuasham, and they killed her there by the area of the horses, which tells even worse. Asal Yahu was the mother of the king, etc., and had done everything. She died by where the horses were, which is absolutely crazy. Now, if you look in the back of these Tanakhs, or the green Tanakhs, you're going to see that Asal Yahu, the queen, was a king in Beis Yehuda for a certain amount of years. I think it's right over here. You have it? Yeah, that's Yaakov, right over here. Perfect, right over here. You'll see right over here, you'll have Amatzia, Uziah, right before that. Asalia, mother of Ahaziah. That's Asalia, mother of Ahaziah. She became queen for 6 years altogether. But technically, she is not from Malchus Yehuda. She wasn't born in Malchus Yehuda. She was actually from Achav. She had no shaychus to Malchus Yehuda. She shouldn't be counted in that count because that's really not who she was or where she was. Nonetheless, they put her inside there. It says, Vayichos Yoyada Bedina Bris, Beino Ven Kalam. Yoyada, the Kohen Gadol, who is the one who raised Yoash, he made a bris between himself and the people. Vena Melechim with the king, Lios La'am La Hashem. That everybody should now worship Hashem. That although Asalia had gotten them into Avodah Zarah, they were doing crazy things at the time, we're going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're joining Hashem. Vavokal Ambeza Baal. All the people came to the house of Baal. Vayitzuhu. And they knocked it down. That's Mizbechos Veslamov, as well as the Mizbechos and the idols that were there. She buried, they broke them all. There's Matan Kohen Abal Horgulifnei Mizbechos, as well as Matan, who was the priest of the Baal, the guy who was in charge of Baal over here, right? They killed him in front of the Mizbechos, right? And the things that were in charge over there. So that was the idea of what happened. Obviously, they were able to take care of everybody that was over there, destroy everybody involved. Now it says in Pasuk Yichas, Yoyada Pekudos Beis Hashem Biyadakwanim Elevim Asher Cholak David Al Beis Hashem. So Yoyada now made administrators. People are going to be in charge. Since Yoyada was the guy who had gotten Yoash to be king in the first place, you better believe that everything was going to be in his hands. He made them in charge of the Beis Hamikdash. Yoyada, the Kohen Gadol, had all the power in the world right now. Yoash is only 7 years old, and he's the king, and there's no one else anywhere near him who can become king, because everyone else was killed out by Asalia. You have one one person from Malchus Yudu is able to become king. Yoyada had all the hand of the world to do whatever he wanted. He says, Lalos Olos Hashem. They were in charge of bringing up Olos to Hashem. Kakuz of Asaros Moshe, Besimcho Vashir, with Simcha and with songs, Ayide David. And Pasuk Yates, Vayamid Ashorim, Al Shari Beshem. They had gatekeepers all around the base of Mitzvah, Loyavo Tame Chodavar. Nobody Tame was allowed to come in. Up until now, idols were allowed in. Idol worship is obviously Tame. Yeah, please. What do you got?
7 years old. Now that we have kids, I wouldn't have questioned this.
Nobody would have said.
You're like seven, you're like, I don't know if that would have
nobody been. Would say this by a normal situation. Yoyada was really in charge. He was in charge with the 7-year-old king. In theory, he could have waited longer. What we said and what we said last week is that Yoyada had hidden him in the little rooms on the side of the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. He was hidden there for 6 years. I don't think he could have waited any longer. If he would have waited any longer, somebody might find out about it. He's been lucky for 6 years that nobody knew about Yoash, that he was able to get out of it, and Asalia, the queen, never found out about it. He's worried. So yeah, he's only seven. You're right, he's only 7 years old. But he didn't have a choice. We're going to make it now, and he'll grow up within the kingdom. And we're going to see. Yoash was great up until a point. Very, very, one of the best kings we ever had. Unfortunately, until his mentor, Yoyada, passes away, then unfortunately things start to go wrong. But yes, no, without a question, this was more of a formality than it was that Yoash actually became king.
King Tut became king at nine.
Do you think it was the same way? Well, there was somebody in charge who allowed him to be there.
His father, yeah. Kenazin, died, and he became.
It's probably the same thing. Probably the same, yeah. Same idea that goes through the Belzer Rebbe. When was the Belzer? How old was the Belzer Rebbe? He was young. I think he was 12 when he became the Rebbe, the current Rebbe, the Rav Aaron Roker. I think he was 12 years old when he became the current Rebbe. His father passed away. He was next in line. It's just that's how it goes when it comes to those types of things.
So you had people going through crises in their family.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think he was that way. Yeah, not that. Think of the melech as the figurehead. I don't think that's... right. He's not paskin and Hilchos, you know. Yeah, that's not what he's doing over here. Anyway, but he's doing... So he comes down and it says... And then it says, Loyavo Tamei the Chol Davar. He wouldn't allow anything Tamei in. The Avodah Zarah that was let in, he wouldn't allow anything back in. Pasuk Chaf, it says, Ve'yikach Hasari HaMeot. He took this officers of hundreds. That's Adiram and the leaders. That's a Moshlam, the rulers of the people. That's Kolam Ha'aretz. Ve'yor Beis Hashem, he brought down the king from the Beis HaMikdash. He had tons of guards around him because he wasn't sure if there was someone on Asalia's side who was going to make one final desperate attack on Yoash, and then they lost Malchus Beis Yehuda. They don't have any more children from Dovid HaMelech direct.
Yeah, but they knew they weren't going to.
You know what, the people?
There's the prophecy that...
Yeah, but you still got to do all your ishtadlos. Yoyada did every bit of ishtadlos he can.
Time ago, there was not... I'm sure there were other... cousins,
maybe,
but
you're right,
from the direct
that
line
he knew of,
from,
that they knew of, son from son, like, whatever.
And he was the only one who came from Yoshaphat was he from?
Ahaziah.
Right.
Ahaziah, I don't have the list over here, but yeah, it would have been Ahaziah altogether. You're right, there could have been somebody. I don't know if they knew
sure
of any.
I'm sure they would have really looked if they found a cousin.
Or Asalia killed them all out. It could be that Asalia did everything.
Generations of people.
Yeah, you ever watched the end of The Godfather, the first one?
No, but this is not a movie.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. This is real life. Of course they did that. Let's see what it says. It says, Vayored Esamelim Vesem, Vayavo Bisoch Hashara Elyon Bisamelech. They came to the upper gate right by the house of the king. Vayoshivo Esamelech Alkisam Amalachi. He was put upon the throne. Yosh was put on the throne. Vayismuchu Kolam Aretz. All the people were happy about Yershakata, and the city was extremely quiet. Why? Because Asalia had been put to death by the sword. It shows she must have run a kingdom of year, of fear, where people were afraid to do anything and they weren't willing to lift up the finger. Now that she was gone, everybody was unbelievably happy. So it says, Ben Sheva Shanim Yoash Bemalcho, he was 7 years old when he was a king. The Arbaim Shana Malach Yerushalayim, he was king for 40 years in Yerushalayim. Now, that was a long time to be king, right? 40 years is quite a while, but he's only 47 when he died. Shemimo Tzivya Mibe'er Shava. This is the only mention of a name like Tzvi throughout all of Tanakh. Tzivya is the only one. It's actually a girl's name, right? I'm not saying basically, right? I know what I am. Regardless, the word Tzvi does not appear as a name throughout Tanakh. Tzivya does, from Be'er Sheva. So she was the lady that married him. We don't know when. We don't know if it was when he was seven or a little bit older, but yeah.
Is this where its name Tzvi comes from?
Yeah, this is where it comes from. I mean, it's the masculine version of Tzivya. That's where it's supposed to be. Yeah. I mean, it's a name of a gazelle, but like that's not the name of a, you know. Vayas Yoash HaYashar Be'enei Hashem. Yoash did what was good in the eyes of Hashem. Koyim Yoyada Koyim. But look at the wording. All the days that Yoyada was alive. All the days Yoyada was alive, that's what ended up happening. Notice something else as well. Be'er Sheva is a city among Shevet Shimon, not Shevet Yehuda. Be'er Sheva was not owned by Shevet Yehuda. That meant that, oh, we've said this before. Yeah, we've said the 10 tribes were exiled, right? The 10 tribes were gone. There were still remnants from every tribe that were friendly with Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda, Shimon, Binyamin were all around each other. So yes, there was Yehuda and Binyamin. Obviously, Shevet Levi was there as well. But Shevet Shimon also had cities within Yehuda, and their people were friendly, and therefore one of their children ended up marrying into the kingly family, right? This is what happened over here. But he was good as long as Yoyada was alive. As long as Yoyada was alive, that's what ended up happening. Now, there is an opinion that says that when it says over here that he was Ben Shevashan Miyosh Bamalcho, it means not that he was 7 years old when he became king, but rather 7 years into his kingdom, he married this girl Tzivia. 7 years into the kingdom, that's when he married Tzivia.
Shame Imo, meaning that doesn't make sense, he married
Tzivia. Oh, whoever it was. Yeah, you're right, I'm sorry. But whoever is, yeah, whoever his wife was, that he'd be there, that's 7 years in. Vayisalu Yoyada Nashim Shtayim, he married two women. Vayala Banu Mabonus, he had met sons and daughters over here. That's what happened. Vayiachrechein, after that, Vayim Lev Yoash Lechadus Beis Hashem, he decided, let's renew the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is over 150 years old now, right? It's time to renew the Beis HaMikdash to make it look a little bit better. Vayipot Zekwanim Levim, Vayomer Lehem, and he called the Kwanim Levim, and he said to them, Tzula Yehuda, go among the cities of Yehuda, Vekivtsu Mikol Yisrael Kesef, gather from all Bnei Yisrael silver, Lechazik is Beis Alechem, in order to strengthen the Beis HaMikdash. Midei Shana B'Shana, we want this done every year. Every year we're going to gather money to make a cheskes abayis, to be able to do something different, right? To make it look a little bit better. Raise money, yeah. Well, it could be that they renovate certain parts every year. So you do one part this year, one part that year. But the raising of the money was the ikur. Batem tomaru ledavar v'lo miharu alavim. You should do this quickly. V'lo tomaru v'lo miharu alavim. But when it came down to this, right, the Levim did not hurry to do it. Levim were not as quick to be able to get down over here. We're going to see Yoash did a lot of strange things later on in his kingdom. We're going to see that he becomes into almost like a god for the people because they started thinking to themselves, oh, wow, he lived by the Beis HaMikdash. Who can live by the Beis HaMikdash? Must be this guy's a little bit of a god. There was a lot of strange things that happened over here. Now, I will tell you, it says over here that when Yoash got through here, Yoyada married two wives by Yolid Banu Mabanos. We said already before, Yoyada was the Kohen Gadol, right? According to one opinion in the Medrash, he was 130 years old at this time because his name was mentioned way earlier in the beginning of the Sefer and who he was. Now, obviously, it could be a grandson, a great-grandchild, but it seems that even in his old age, he married two women. Now, a Kohen Gadol cannot marry two women at once. In order to serve in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, he can only have one wife. So it seems likely that this is either a second wife or it was after he was already done being the Kohen Gadol, meaning he couldn't do it anymore.
Yehoyada married off to Yoash.
And that is the second shot. And the second shot, which we said before, was that Yoyada married it off to Yoash itself.
The subject of the Yoash.
Correct. And you know who says that? Josephus in Antiquities. That's who ends up bringing it down. Josephus says that it was he that ended up giving him that wife and everything like that. Now, the renovating, it could be that this is all Yoash's plan and that he came up with it himself. It seems more likely to me that Yoyada suggested this to Yoash. The Kohen Gadol, who's been inside there, he tells him, I think that the repairs should start being done now, right? Especially because he has an ear with the king, that he tells him this is probably the best thing to do over here. Now, what kind of money are we talking? There was a chiyuv to give a chatzi shekel every single year to the Beis HaMikdash. It could be that he just made sure that chatzi shekel was collected from everybody. It could be he just went up and said, let's make sure that it's actually collected and it's not just everybody. Yeah, it could be that as time went on, you know, people forgot to pay and whatever it was. So he made up the collection again. It could also be, obviously, that he went around and he said, let's do a little bit more than this. I think we can do a little bit more. The Radak goes on and says that there may have been a lot of people during Asalya's reign, when Asalya was in charge and they were doing a Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash or around there, right, because the Baal was around, right? It could be that people stopped bringing their money, saying, hey, why are we paying for all this Avodah Zarah? They had stopped doing the Chatzi Shekel for years. Now, Yoash comes along and says, let's do it again. Let's bring these people again. And it could be people brought animals and they brought other things for this purpose. There could have been other things. There could have been Davos donations that people want to do. There was Arachin, which is the value of a person that each person wanted to give. The point is that they raised money. And that's that. Now, it seems, right, that he told them that we have to do this quickly. The repairs may have been in dire need, and it could have been just the king telling them. Either way, the Levim were not quick. So the king called over to Yoyada, the person in charge of Yonah, and he said to him, Madulo Darasha Levim, why have you not demanded from the Levim, Lahavi Yehudim Yerushalayim, to bring from Yehuda and Yerushalayim, as Masas Melech Eved Hashem, Masas Moshe Eved Hashem. This, you know, tax that was made by Moshe, the Chatzi Shekel they have to bring, Vakal Yisrael Ola Edus, as well as Bnei Yisrael, why haven't you brought it to Ola Edus? What's been going on? Why haven't you demanded of them? What happened? Because Asalyo, the evil woman, her children destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and they took all the kachim, they used it for the Baalim that they had, you know, the gods of that they used to worship for children. Right? And at that time, I guess they did that. The king then made an order, and they made a single chest, and they put it right outside the Beis HaMikdash for everybody to throw their money into as they were coming in. You know what's interesting about this? There is a halacha that you're not allowed to go in with your money belt to the Beis HaMikdash. You can't have a money belt going in. It just doesn't look right. You know, you walk into the Beis HaMikdash carrying a money belt or something like that. It's just not the proper thing. So how'd they have money?
Well,
a money, you know, like a, it's basically like a pouch that you put around. Yeah, a wallet they carry on the outside.
But wait, they would take the money in their hand when they go to the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, people would bring money to buy korbanos, so they're just like that. They would
usually
they
do it in the shuk and they carry the animal off. But you are right; they did do it. Tosos says in Psachim that the way they did it is they either tied pouches or like little pockets into their clothing. And they put it in their clothing so that it wouldn't be a money belt or something separate. It was something within their clothing, and they were able to pull it out from that. Or they held the money in their hands for as long as they could. Obviously, couldn't hold it the entire time. You maybe put in. You couldn't wear shoes either. You'd have to put it somewhere where you knew that the money was going to remain safe, right? But they did something. But they couldn't have something that looked bad when you walked in. So they had to have that. It could be that that's why they still had money. Because otherwise, this would be a bad place to put your coins. If it's the one place where nobody brings their money, that's not going to be a chest that's going to, you're not going to make much money that way, right? If you go around on Shabbos with a tzedakah box, like, it's not going to work out so well. But they did it, they put it right over there, and they said, anybody who comes up to the Beis HaMikdash should bring it. By Yinu Kol B'Yehudim Yerushalayim, they let out a noise, a little proclamation. Through Yehudim Yerushalayim, L'Havila Hashem Masas Moshe Eved Elokim, Al Yisrael B'Midbor, the same tax that Moshe Rabbeinu made the people in the Midbor give, we have to do it again. By Yisum Chukol, Sarim V'Chulam, they were happy to do it. Even though the Levim weren't forcing them to do it, they did it on their own. They said, heard about it. They said, of course. And they threw it until they filled up the chest. Filled up the entire chest. When they brought over the chest, over to the king, right, the guy who was in charge, in the hands of the Levim, he saw how much money there was. They poured out all of the, you know, the chest. They carried it. They brought it back to its place. Every day. They would do that, and they'd carry out the chest, and they'd empty it out. By Yasu Kessel Rov, they collected so much money. That's how much money was going there every single day. That means, again, we don't know how many people used to go to the Beis HaMikdash every day. I would assume there were off days, and not everybody went every single day. But it certainly seems like every single day, there were tons of people that would go, and every day they would donate money that was filled. Maybe, again, because Asalyo was not allowing them to do the right thing. So now all of a sudden, people were coming in droves. Then he gave it over.
Maybe
this was
on holidays.
Yeah, could be that also. They brought it over to the people that were doing the work of the king. There were people. Who are these guys? They rented out chotzvim. Those were rock hewers, guys that were able to take rocks out, you know, from the mountains. The chorashim and smiths, carpenters of some way, to make it all new. They also took craftsmen of copper and iron, right? Lechazik, in order to strengthen everything that they already had. Lechazik is based on to strengthen the Beis HaMikdash. All those people were paid. So they did it. All these workmen acted, Vatala Rucha Lamalacha, and the work was really good in their hands. They were really good at what they were doing. Vayamidu es Beis Elokim al Maskunto, they put the Beis HaMikdash back to place, Vayamtsu, and they strengthened it. Chalosam. And when they finished it, Heviu Lifnei HaMelech, brought in front of the king, Vyoyoda, Eshar, as of all the remnants of the silver. Vayasil Kelim LeBeis Hashem, they took all the remaining silver and they made it into new Kelim. Klei Sharis, Kelim they could use. Vahalos Vakapos, Klei Zahav, and they ended up using these mortars, these pans, these spoons, everything of silver and gold. Vayumalim Olos Beis Hashem. And they brought up burnt offerings every day when Yoyada was still the Kohen Gadol. Every day they took all the extra money and they bought animals with it, and they brought animals constantly in the Beis HaMikdash. So even if there wasn't enough animals there, they made sure there was enough animals that were being brought. The Korban Tamid, Olos, the Ketz Mizbeach. Yeah.
Korban Tamid specifically.
Why?
Tamid, I don't know. We use the word Tamid. I mean, it could, like you're saying, that it was constant, but maybe it just means that.
The Mitzudo says like you.
Time, maybe she struck down no more.
They stopped the Korban Tumah. Well, first of all, we have a fast day when they were Mevatel the Korban Tumah.
Right,
that was later.
Good.
No, that was later when the Mevatel Korban Tumah.
But that was when they destroyed the first base of Mikdash.
It was before that.
No, I know, but after that.
So you're saying there might have been a time. Even by a salio, they stopped the Korban Tamid. I guess it could be, right? It could be the Korban Tamid. Simply put, usually they have these olos that are known as Ketz and Mizbeach. That's usually what it says, but I think both of them would work. The Mitsudo says that it was referring to the Korban Tamid. Moshe Eisenman, who's that one who writes over the thing, based on Ksuvis Kuf Vav Amid Beis, says it's referring to the Ketz and Mizbeach. And that's what they brought over here. Okay, let's see what he says. He says, Vayizkan Yoyada. Unfortunately, Yoyada, as they all do, got old. As we said, he might have been very old. Vayiz Bayamin, very satisfied today. Vayamos, he died. Bemea Ushloshim Shana Bemoso, 130 when he died. By Baruah Be'ir David, he was buried in Ir David in Mamawachim, together with the kings. That's how awesome he was, because of the good he did with Bnei Yisrael V'Elohim Ubeso, along with God, and his own house, the Kohanim themselves.
He was probably an acting regent for a while.
I would assume so. Yeah, for sure, while Yoash was such a young kid. Right, it says, V'achrei Mosi Yoyada Bozar Yehuda V'Yishtachavu L'Melech. After Yoyada died, the officers of the king came and bowed down to Yoash. Not bowing down as one would to a king, like in out of honor. Bow down to him as a god. And that was bad. Uz Shama Melech Aleim, the king would listen to them. He started to listen and started thinking to himself, you know what, maybe I am more powerful than I thought. They stopped going to the Beis HaMikdash. They started serving these Asherah trees, as well as the small little idols they used to have. They're called Getchkas, the little statues. There was an anger that God brought in Yehuda Yerushalayim when they started doing this tremendous evil. How dare you, after all this? Neviim were sent to return them to Hashem. And they warned them. But they did not listen whatsoever. We do not know who the Nevi'im are, unfortunately. The statues, by the way, the Atzavim that they gave out, were little statues of Yoash. It was like the very first baseball cards. They would give out these tiny little statues of Yoash, and they would keep them with them to remind themselves. What? Yeah, you're right.
These are bobbleheads.
Little set bobbleheads. You're right. They're bobbleheads. Yoash the king. Right? You put it out there, and everybody loved them. Wait, I should get rid of my bobbleheads in my kids' rooms, shouldn't I?
Only the first 5,000 people got
it. First 5,000 to come to the base of Mikdash. This is terrible. But that's 100% what happened over here. That's that. So, of course, in Pshat, it does seem they allowed him to deify. He allowed them to deify him, and that's that. It could be that they made him swear not to get involved. They were going to do certain things, bring about these idolatrous practices that Yoash didn't know about, and he heard it, and he's like, oh, that sounds really good. That could just add to our Avodas Hashem, when really it was taking away from the Avodas Hashem. That's number two. The third one is that they started accepting the idols of neighboring peoples. I can't imagine that Yoash, who grew up with the Yoyada HaKohen, was fooled by these people. I'm sure that it was something where they had done something which there's no way that Yoash could have realized what they were trying to do, and in the end, they did it. They came around to it, and Yoash, I guess, he lost his resolve. I don't know, but it seems so strange. Yeah, but so strange. He grew up in the base of Mikdash with the Yoyada, the Kohen Gadol. You'd think he'd be too good for this, but power corrupts. Yeah, you're right. He didn't have a normal childhood. I would think that still would be enough. Anyway, yeah, that didn't happen back then. Ruach Elokim Lavshah Zecharia ben Yoyada. Here we go. We have one Navi. Zecharia, the son of Yoyada. This is Yoyada HaKohen's son. So Zechariah, who should have been the next Kohen Gadol, he got up. A spirit enveloped him. By Yamal Me'awam, and he stood above the people.
He wasn't the Kohen Gadol at the time.
He might have been. You're right. By Yomalem, and he said to them, Ko Amar Elokim, this is what God says. Lo Ma'atem over Mitzvah Hashem. Why are you being over on the Mitzvah Hashem? Lo Satzlichu, nothing you do will be Matzliach. Ki Azavtem Hashem V'Yazav Eschem. You have forsaken HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he has forsaken you. Now remember, this is Zecharia ben Yoyada. I would assume Yoash knew this guy really, really well. Now it could be, even Zecharia didn't know who Yoyada was. It could have been not that way though. It could have been that Zecharia and Yoyada never knew of each other's existence. That Zecharia lived at home with his mother. Yoyada was living in the Beis HaMikdash in the Kodesh HaKadoshim as if there was a second child that Zecharia didn't know about. It's very possible. Very, very possible. Oh, well, yeah, that for sure. Yeah, he knew. It very well could be that they had none. And they had no shaykhis to it whatsoever. It could be, right? It was like that. Maybe Zechariah spoke it out.
Didn't like Yoash.
Not that he didn't like him. He didn't like what he was doing
his
now.
His father was spending right? more time with him.
Spending more time. I don't know if he did that either. It could be that Yoyada made sure that people were there. Could be. I don't know. Honestly, we don't know.
His father's footsteps because he stands up and makes a...
And he was a Navi. Clearly he's a Navi. He says, Kol Amar Hashem, which is only by a real Navi when it goes through. But the fact is, Zechariah did deserve to be killed. He wasn't soft in his rebuke. He was strong and maybe a little too strong for the people that were there. They saw, he should have known, the king was straying off because Yoyada had died. He obviously needed other people. Zechariah should have been softer when he comes through, and that's the reason why, unfortunately, this happens. By Yikshu Alot.
I'm saying rabbis should be softer in their...
100%. I think we all knew that. Yeah, we all knew that, right? They should, if you go in screaming, that probably you're not going to get the desired result. Probably. By Yikshu Alot.
But yet they still do it.
Some of them. I mean, I do.
See, why do you have to
I'm successful
have
that way. Yeah, you scream and slap. It's usually a slap, depending on the age of the kid. Yeah,
I'm sorry. That's why I specifically said to her, you always just don't remember the kindness of your heart.
Yeah, it seems a little bit different. What's up, Dave?
We don't see this often, the Kohen and the Navi in the same.
This is the biggest one. You probably remember this story. By Yikshu Alav, they made a kesher against them by Yirgamu Evan, and they stoned him in the Beis HaMikdash, b'mitzvah Samelech, by the command of the king. Yoyada would not kill Asalya, who deserved death in the Beis HaMikdash, took her out. But they killed Zechariah in the Beis HaMikdash. By Yarogis Beno, he would not remember what Yoyada did to him. He killed his son Uchamoso, and Uchamoso, when he was dying, Omar, Yerasham Yidrosh. May God see this and demand something back for it. Now, this is a horrible, horrible thing. By Aaron HaKohen, Aaron knew when Hur was killed by the Egel Azov, if they kill a Navi and a Kohen, then there's no way to do tshuva for such a matter. And therefore, Aaron gave in to the Egel Azov and told them, okay, and he delayed tactic, tried to delay them a little bit so that he wouldn't be killed. Yoyada was a Navi and a Kohen. His blood remains stained on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash for the next 180 years. When Nebuzaradan comes into the Beis HaMikdash through the word of Nebuchadnezzar, sees the blood on the ground, he says, what blood is that? They said, oh, it's from the Korbanos. He tried it with different bloods and saw that it wasn't there. And in the end, he said, this is something different. Oh. It was bubbling. It was still boiling. He said, this is something different. So he said, they told him the real story. It was Zechariah who was killed and his blood has never, for 180 years, there was a spot in the Beis HaMikdash with boiling blood that remained there, no matter how much water and everything, even the Korban Pesach, they used to water down the whole Azara. This remained the entire time. And in that sense, Nebuzaradan said, I am willing to kill as many people as I do. He killed, and the numbers are staggering. 60,000 the Kohan and Pirchei Kuhuna. He took the Talmidei Chachamim, he grabbed young children as well, and he kept doing it until finally he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zechariah, he said, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to just kill all of Bnei Yisrael in order to appease you? And then it appeased. And when he saw that, Yehuzaradim was so shocked, says the Gemara, he became a ger. It's an unreal Gemara. It's Nun Vavam Abayz and Gittin. Right? Absolutely unbelievable Gemara, what was happening from it. It's just a crazy, crazy idea over here, what happens in such a case. Now,
does that give, like, permanent tumah status to...
To what? To the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah.
No, because the floor itself could not attain that type of tumah.
No, but isn't it Ohel if it's
in the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kedashim? I would assume it's the Azara. I'm not positive, but it sounds to me it's the Azara. So yeah, the Chatzar.
Why does it say stone him with rocks? Is there another way to stone him?
Yirgamuhu Evan. You know, the word ragam, I guess, could mean something else. It's possible. Yeah, ragam might be something different. I don't know, though. I don't know. That's a good question. I have no idea when it goes through, right, that. What ended up happening over here, it's very, very strange, right, what happened over here with Yoash. Up until now, even when things were happening that were bad and a person had to be killed, there was never a straight-out murder of a prophet. Never did that happen before, right? There's Ahav.
He killed all the they killed all the prophets, and Eliyahu had to run away.
You know, you're right. It's very powerful. You know, in Malchus Yisrael, let's say in Malchus Yehuda, there was never a chance that something like that happened. Yeah. Why?
The king.
Very, very good. What is the Mitzvah Samelach? Halacha is
even if he was right or wrong.
You're 100% right. Wrong, Rambam Hilchos Malachim says that. Hilchos Malachim says if a guy goes against the king, he is allowed to kill him. There is such a thing as Mordechai Malchus.
There's a prophecy.
There's a see, that's a big question. Does the king have to trust that it's a prophecy, right? But regardless, there is a halacha. If Yoash saw that he was a danger to his rule, it's possible he could have taken that. But number one, there's a problem with that. They killed him by stoning him. Killing by the king is always by the sword. That's number one. So if it was really Morid B'Malchus, Morid B'Malchus, no, it's only by the sword, that's number one. Number two, if a person is engaged in a mitzvah, you are not allowed to kill him until he finishes with the mitzvah. At the time, even if you disagree with Zechariah's message, but he was a Kohen and Navi in the Beis HaMikdash,
well, how do you disagree
doing
with
around
the message when the message is from God? It's one thing if someone's going up on their own and going against the king.
Maybe
and
he felt that he was doing it in a different way, and that was considered different.
He's saying the delivery was the issue.
Yeah, maybe the delivery was something there.
That's what Chazal was saying. He should have been a little bit softer. Hmm. But the fact of the matter is, he was still delivering the word of God. So maybe that would have been his justification.
It's hard that you can allow yourself to do it.
The blood needed to be avenged. It must have been wrong.
Very, very, very strange. There is a Medrash that also says that Yoash was bringing an Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash, and Zechariah stood at the front and said, "What are you doing? Why would you do that?" And they stoned him at the gates. Stoned him at the gates, meaning right there as they tried to bring it in. That's also brought it down over there.
But we also have Menashe killed Yeshaya.
That does happen afterward, yeah. Yeshaya, unfortunately, that's a weird measure in of itself. But that's that.
His grandfather?
I'm sorry?
Well, Yeshaya was his grandfather.
Yeshaya was his grandfather, yeah. His mother's father over here. It's possible to give something back to Yoash that Yoash did feel that he was a false prophet. It's possible. And therefore, he wanted to kill him by the sword, but there were no swords in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, they stoned him because that's all they had. That's a possibility. It's a possibility that's there. It's just, again, we're left without the information that we need over here. We're taking guesses over here. Regardless, Bnei Yisrael were over on seven sins that day. They killed a Kohen. They killed a Navi. They killed a Shofet. He was also a Shofet.
Isn't killing a person?
Yes, but each one. Shrikla's dumb is number four, right? I'm not doing it in order.
No,
right?
But that's
meaning
like,
there were four.
For the
separate.
Same act, or for crimes, only one act of murder. They're only chayv me.
Well, yeah.
Somebody kills one. Somebody's a Navi. He's only chayv one.
Well, hold on. What about if it was? I'm not saying they're chayv seven different deaths, but meaning there were seven things that they did wrong. It was also Shabbos. According to the Gemara, it was Yom Kippur. Yerushalmi Tainis says it was Yom Kippur, and they were metame the Beis HaMikdash by killing him inside there. Now, you're right. Obviously, a Kohen, Navi, and a Shofet, killing either one of those, obviously, it's still killing. It's murder. So that's all going to be wrong. But regardless, it's considered as if they were over on seven different things over here of what they had done. Right, we did the Agada, we did that, finished over there. Okay, so now we have Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayilat Kufas Hashanah, toward the end of the year, this obviously seems to be in retribution for what happened over here. Allah, Allah, Chil Aram. There came upon him an army of Aram. Now, the Radak and Walbag say over here, based on Malachim Beis as well, there were two wars, and each of the books refers to one of them. There's one in Malachim, and there's one over here. Okay, that could be. It could be that they're different stages of the same war. Okay, so Chilaron comes against them. Let's see what happens. Vayavoh Yehudi v'Yerushalayim. They came to Yehudi v'Yerushalayim. Vayashchitzu es kol sarei ha'am. They destroyed. They killed every one of the officers. Me'am. B'chol shlam shilchu l'melech Damascus. And all of their plunder, they sent over to the king of Damascus. Ki b'mitzar anashim. Because with a small force of men, bo Chilaron. That's how the army of Aram came. Hashem nasam b'yadam chayol l'rov ma'od. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered a huge amount of money in their hands. Ki asu Hashem l'kei avosem. Because they forgot about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Yoash asu shvatim. And they executed judgment against Yoash as well. B'lechtu mimenu. When they went away from him, right, I guess ki asu oso b'machaloyim. Because they gave him a lot of wounds. Rabim. Hiskashu alav avadav b'dmei b'nei Yoyada HaKohen. His servants, his own servants rebelled against him because of the blood of the sons of Yoyada HaKohen. V'yarguam. So they killed him in his bed by Amos, and Yoash died. They buried him in Yerdavid, and did not bury him in the kever of the Malachim. Yoash, who started off so good and so awesome, remade the Beis HaMikdash, rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, dies, is the first one of Malchus Beis David to die by the hands of the sword, by his own avodah.
Yoyada was, and it's like, he gave him his own burial spot. Or
it's so interesting. Yeah, because Yoyada was buried in the kever of the Malachim, you mean. Yeah, Dave, what were you going to say?
So, why wasn't this enough of a kapara, retribution for Yoash, as
given to that, say that he's a tzaddik.
Given given that whole Nebuzaradan and Zachariah thing, why did he have to kill that many? Why did all those people have to get killed hundreds of years later if Aram came and killed enough people and took things away and all that?
Kind that of we can't answer, but it's possible there was still something that needed to happen. Kohen Benavi B'Yisrael is so powerful, this is what happened. You know, some sins, right? We say that Yom Kippur is like everything is Tola. Tshuva is Tola, Yom Kippur is Tola, until a person dies. Like if a person commits a Chilul Hashem, you can't get a kapara for it until you die. No matter what else you do. So yeah, it's Tola, it works a little bit, but it's not able to do enough. Maybe this is the same way. Same idea that goes over here. By the way, if you notice, by the way, B'nei Yoyada, it could be that other children of Yoyada were put to death as well. Maybe they took down all the other Kohanim Gidolim or the other Kohanim over there, which is absolutely crazy. Of course, it could be that the word B'nei is sometimes used as one son. That could be as well. It's just very, very strange. When it says they did Shvatim to Yosh, by the way, it seems that they humiliated him publicly. Whatever they did in a public way that Yosh was, unfortunately, he was sick and humiliated when he went through all this. Let's finish the Pesukim Chavav Eilam Iskashim Lov. These are the people that rebelled against him. It says over here, Zavad ben Shimas Amonis, Yo Zavad ben Shimris HaMoavis, right? That's interesting. From Amon and Moab. These are Gerim that came from other nations, and they saw how bad they are. Now, on the one hand, you'd look at it and say, well, that's why they were willing to kill him, because they were Gerim from another land, right, and they were willing to do it. On the other hand, you'd say, even they were able to see that Yoash was completely wrong in what he was doing, that everything he was doing was wrong. Ubanov, Yerev, here it goes, his sons, Yerev Hamasa Olov, right, that's considered, I guess, the Yerev Hamasa Olov, where is it over here? It says, his sons, I see. Yirev Hamasa Olav. It says there were many prophecies against him. Yisod Beis Olohim, Hinam Ksuvim, Al Midrash, Sefer HaMalachim. They're all written in the Sefer HaMalachim. Yimloch Amatzio Ben Otachtov. And Amatzio, his son, ended up taking care of his place, you know, in going into his place itself. The important lesson to learn from Yoash, and by far, I think, the most important lesson that we've learned from this entire parak, is the reason, the need to have someone who's considered like a Rebbe, that you talk to, that you deal with. A Rebbe, a Rav, and whichever source. Because when a person starts going off on their own, there is the danger, it's not a guarantee, but there is the danger of thinking that what you're doing is correct, when really you are totally wrong and you're Oved Avodah Zarah. You might not think that way, you might think you're doing the right thing, but unfortunately, this seems to be the result when a person gets involved in there, and that's clearly the lesson the Gemara learns. When Yoyada passed away, Yoash lost everything. Literally everything, even his kever, the spot that he had over there.
It was partially Yoyada's fault for not
setting up somebody instead. I guess Zachariah was the person, but Zachariah was just mean for no reason or whatever it was. But you're right, yeah. For sure Yoyada was to blame for part of this, because there was something that should have been done in order to make it there.
Why wasn't he buried? I mean, you think about it. He died, so now mm-hmm. something's over his king.
Mm-hmm.
His son decided not to bury his father in the king's plot.
You're right, especially because we're going to learn a little bit about his son.
Right. I mean, we see Hizkiyahu did that to his father, but he was an exceedingly righteous king, and his father was exceedingly bad.
So maybe Amatzio wasn't powerful enough yet, and the Kohanim took over and they did it himself.
More powerful.
Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe that's the idea behind it.
Maybe
it's possible.
Too mangled. Yeah. He's buried there.
Why? What is the difference?
Oh, because of what happened in the war. He would, because in the war he was destroyed by the people there.
More too mangled to be buried. He said he was buried somewhere, so why not bury him there?
Yeah, but maybe mm-hmm. his body wasn't nice enough to be buried amongst.
Buried,
no, remember it was a cave.
No,
it was
I understand.
A cave, so it might
but
be a little bit different.
Nobody's going in there and doing.
Yeah, you're right. Nobody is. Maybe I don't know. There's interesting. The Mitsudo says there were no casualties in this war except for the nobles. The leaders of the people died. Right? And then Yoash was tortured, but that's it. There wasn't like a full-fledged two armies fighting against each other. That wasn't happening over here. It seems that they had one objective, and it was to come after Yoash, which if you believe in that sort of stuff, it clearly shows something was totally wrong with what happened over here. Okay, how much time do we have? We have another 13 minutes. Okay, so let's see what we got over here. Chapei, I think we can finish. Ben Esther v'chamesh. We have a guy, 25 years old, Shana Malach HaMatzio. That's an Amatzio, became king at the age of 25. Esther v'teisha, Shana Malach. Yerushalayim. He was king for 29 years in Yerushalayim. Veshemimo Yehoadan Yerushalayim. Yehoadan from Yerushalayim was his mother's name. Vayasa Yosha ben Hashem. He did good in the eyes of Hashem. Rak below believe Yerushalayim. However, not with a full heart. Not with a complete full heart. When it got very strong on him, only then did he kill the Ammonian Moabi traitors, the servants, right, that had knocked down the king. However, he did not put their sons to death. Because it writes in the Sefer Torah's motion, Torah, Sefer Moshe, fathers shouldn't die for their sons, sons shouldn't die for their fathers. Every man in their sin should die, which is interesting. The fact that the Pasuk is saying it is almost as if to say he followed the Torah as best as he knew it. And he knew that this is what it says. Now, obviously, we have another thing. Poked avon avos al banim.
Yeah, but
right?
That's talking about Hashem is poked avon. It doesn't mean you can.
Oh,
you
very good. So he probably understood, right, that me, as a human being, I'm not going to take the children into account unless I see the children following in the ways of their fathers, which is how we paskin anyway, right? That's what ends up happening over here. Some say that he had de facto been ruling for the last couple years anyway, Amatzia, right? And the reason why it took him a little bit to get in charge is because Yoash was too ill. Amatzia was in charge. It just took a while for the child king, even though he's 25, to end up being put in charge and what ended up happening over here.
In terms of halacha, is he allowed to go after his father's killers?
Yes, because again, he could have felt that it's Morid B'Malchus, which it was, so he very well could have paskined, right, that they were Chayiv Misa. It's possible for him to do it, and of course, if he was doing it on his own and Amatzia was a bad guy, then certainly he could do whatever he wants. Right, he'd be able to do it. He could find it and do whatever he wants over here. Now, it is interesting over here because now we're going to see they're going to fight against Edom. They're not going to have a very, very large, you know, very large army at this point. Vayikvotz Amatzios Yehuda, he gathered together all of Yehuda, Vayamidem Lebeis Avos, and he stood them according to their families. Lesari Alafim, Sari Emeos, officers of thousands and hundreds, the whole Yehuda ben Yamin, for all of Yehuda ben Yamin, Vikedem, and he counted them, Ben Esrim Shana Vamala, from 20 and up, Vayitzayim Shlosh Meos Alapachor, 300,000 young men. We spoke before that these armies were comprised of not just the people who were fighting in the war, but people who were at home taking care of all this, you know, the different money, the food and whatever, the provisions that they needed. Altogether, there were 300,000 people that were there to be able to fight in these wars. Yotze Tzava, Ochez Romatzima, who held on to the spear and the shield. By Yisgor Miyisrael. Now, obviously, it sounds like all 300,000 were able to do that, right? But it could be that there were 300,000 in the army, period. And there were people that had different jobs. By Yisgor Miyisrael, Mea Elof Gibor Chayil. And then he rented 100,000 Jewish soldiers from Malchus Yisrael up north. Mea Kikar Kesef, for 100 Kikar Kesef. Mercenaries. He was going to hire these guys to come along with him because he didn't feel he had a big enough war. Now, unfortunately, this is a smaller army. If you remember by Asa, he had 500,000 men from Yehuda alone. Now he has 300,000 men from everybody. Something had happened over the years, and I guess by Asalia and Yoash, it wasn't going well at this time. But he hired 100,000 more men, so he's got 400,000 coming in. He spent 100 kikar kesev on this. That wasn't easy. Remember, at the time, I can't imagine they had that much money after they were just plundered in the last parsha by Aram. But he ended up spending it. Isha Lokim Bailov, a Navi, came to him. This man of God, according to the Chazal, it was Amotz. Yeshaya ben Amotz, the father of Yeshaya, came to him, and here's what Amot said. Hamelech, the king, al yavon chotzva Yisrael, do not allow the army of Yisrael to come with you. Ki'in Hashem im Yisrael, kol b'nei Ephraim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is no longer with b'nei Yisrael, with the b'nei Ephraim. No longer with them. Ki'in bo'ato, asei chazak l'mochama, yachshulcha Elohim l'fnei oyev. Because if you come, if you do go, ready yourself and strengthen yourself for war in front of your enemy, ki'esh koach b'Elohim l'azor l'achshil. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu can make you win, Kadosh Baruch Hu can make you trip up and be defeated. It's up to God, not up to you. It doesn't matter how many people you have. You think you're going to have enough? Oh, 300. If I have 400,000, I'm going to win. If you had 20 people, you'll win if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you. If you have 400,000, Hashem is not with you, you're not going to win. So whatever you do, do not think that it has to do with the amount of army you have. That's what he ended up saying. Amatzia said to the man of God, Malasos, what can I do? Lamas Kikar. I paid already. Do you want me to lose on 100 Kikar Kesef? What do I do? Now, it could be, he was actually asking the halacha. What's the halacha? Am I allowed to demand the money back because I never made them go to war? Or did I already give it, thinking they were coming, and therefore I owe the 100 kikar? Which one do I have to do? Hashem Asati, which I had already given, L'gdud Yisrael, for the troops of Israel. God has a lot more money to give you. You want money? No worries, buddy. You'll get money. Hashem will give it to you. Call them all back. cancel the money order, you'll be fine. You won't have to worry about anything. Everything will be taken care of.
But I think don't cancel the money order.
I'm sorry?
Don't worry about the money order.
What do you... No. Look at the wording. Yesh l'asham l'aseis l'cha harbe mizeh.
Right. You'll get more than this. So don't worry about the money you paid Malchus Yisrael already.
Right, that's what we're saying.
You can cancel the money order means like...
Oh, I don't mean it like that. Okay. Don't worry about the money they already paid. Amatya then separated the troops that came to him from Ephraim, and told them, go home, guys. I don't need you. I don't want you here. And they were so angry at Yehuda, they went back to their homes in a rage. What? We're not good enough for them? We're not good enough. Right? They paid the money, and... It's so strange. Can you imagine this? He paid them under Kikar Kesef, and then he said to them, guys, keep the money. I don't need you to fight this war. They're like, what? We want to fight this war. What are you, crazy? You want to go fight a war? Why would you want to go fight a war? But they were so into it. They wanted to be involved. Unfortunately, that was not the way to go. Amatzio, he's chazak. Amatzio strengthened himself. And he led his people. He went to the Valley of the Salt. I'm assuming that was near the Salt Sea, although I can't tell you for sure. They destroyed the Bnei Seir. Down there. Vayachas Bnei Seir Aseres Alafim. He killed 10,000 of those men. He struck them down. Aseres Alafim Chayim Shavu Bnei Yehuda. They were able to capture 10,000 live. Vayavil Nerosh HaSala. They brought them to the top of the rock. Vayashlichum Nerosh HaSala V'chulim Nivko. They threw them off the top of the rock, and they all burst open down there. Now, that seems like unbelievable cruelty, right? It could be that only this reprisal, so to speak, what he was showing them is, if you do this, here's how we're going to treat you. And sometimes you are allowed to be cruel with people who are going to be cruel back to you. Don't come near us because this is what's going to be over here. Whatever it is, Chazal say in Eicha Rabbah, he was punished for this excessive cruelty. I allowed you to go fight by the sword. I did not allow you to do something like that. Right? For that reason, they were punished with gullus. Yeah, I have it underlined in
there. Gullus when?
Yeah.
It says, I didn't you Kshay Kobam Gidudei Ephraim. When was that?
Oh, right afterward. We're going to see it right afterward. Yeah, so that's what's going to happen. But it is the downward spiral that happens over here. So look what happens. Those officers that Amatzio didn't let him go with to war, they started spreading out against the cities of Yehuda, from the Shomron all the way to Beis Choron. They killed 3,000 people. They took tons of spoils. So while Amatzio is down south fighting against Seir, these guys are going around the regular cities, which were not protected. There was nobody around there and killing all the people and taking all of their stuff, right? That was what happened over here. First of all, that's a cheap move. That is a cheap move. You know where the army is, right? And you go and you take from like regular citizens that are sitting there. That's a little crazy.
Now, I'm wondering, does it necessarily say that it was while they were at war? Maybe they went back home and were like,
well, no, look what happened. Next words. Vayi'acharei bo Amatzio mihakos ha'adomim. When he came back, Amatzio, from killing the Adomim, vayavias
elohei b'nei Seir. Right, this is going on at a separate issue. I was thinking maybe the people who were responsible for taking the 10,000 men and throwing them off of the thing, maybe they were the ones who were the 3,000 because it's right after. I'm just... Idea.
Yeah, I hear it. I would have said that it's in order, but I definitely hear it. It's very possible this was a little bit later. But either after he came back from killing the Adomim, he brought the gods of Seir back with him. And he made it for his gods. These are the people he just killed. He took their gods and brought it back. He bowed down to them, and he burned incense to them. So Hashem obviously got angry. And a Navi went to him. Maybe it was Amotz. We don't know if it's the same one. And he said to him, why in the world would you go with the gods of the people, right, who you weren't able to save themselves from their hands? When he spoke to him, did I make you an advisor to the king? Stop it right now. Lama Yakucha, why should I kill you? The Navi stopped. I get it. I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu is planning to destroy you. You did this. You're not willing to listen to my Eitzah. You're not listening to anything over here. It seems, right? It seems that the king was extremely angry, but it could be like this. Did you notice that the Navi did not start off by saying, Ko Amar Hashem? He just said, Lama Durashta. He was a Navi. But it seemed like it was a private message. To that, Amatzia caught on it and said, wait a second, are you a Navi? Or are you just saying that out of your own volition?
He said, love Navi, meaning Hashem told him, go to him. And I said, like,
correct,
go to him, just
but
give him
Amatzia might not have known that because he didn't start off with Kol Amar Hashem. That was a major issue. And for that, he said, well, I don't want to listen to your eight. I didn't make you my advisor. Right? You want to tell me something from Hashem, tell me something from Hashem. But you didn't tell me anything.
He told you something from Hashem. Hashem said, go to war, I'm going to save you and get you money and everything. And now he goes and takes the idols and worships.
Oh, of course. It was the most, 100%. But he didn't want the advice. You want to tell me a message from Hashem? Go ahead. You want to tell me advice? I don't take your advice. For whatever reason, he thought these idols were okay. And I'm sure it was, in his mind, a great reason. Maybe there were art, you know, like the artistry was amazing. Maybe it was something that he had already eyed, right? Maybe it was something, maybe he considered it something, right, where he had davened to them before at some point. And then Edom didn't do the right thing, and therefore they were punished, and therefore he felt that it wasn't my God that saved us, it was really their gods that went against them. Which is ridiculous, because the Navi had told it to him before. But whoever it is, that's what Amatya did. Again, we don't have an idea why Amatya did this, but he did it. We'll finish this parak. Amatya then took advice. Right, he sent messengers to Yoash, son of Yoachaz ben Yehu, Melech Yisrael, the king of Israel. Lamor, and he said to him, Lechon Yisrael panim, come, let's battle. Right? He's up there. He says, I just defeated all of Seir. I think we can do this. Let's battle with one another. So what time do we have? All right, we're going to have to stop right here. Let's stop right here by Yud Ches. Oh, maybe Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin's a better stock than Tron. We'll stop right there.